As an advisor, I'm always curious about what is the path that most people don't choose. It may be the most difficult and challenging, but it will get me to my goal faster than everybody else. So we are launching Elite Plus. This is the community for advisors that really want to engage. You get to hang out with me a couple times a month live, asking questions, trying to grow our practice together. You'll get for free our financial planning software that'll help you deliver a better financial planning experience to your clients. You'll have access to Q&A cohorts with other advisors, and you'll have our full library of resources. This is for you if you are ready to go all in. If you want to be challenged to grow, you need to come hang out in Elite Plus. Join the Elite Plus membership today. Visit gobeelite.com and experience the program that transforms advisors into leaders. Welcome to this episode of the Elite Advisor Podcast. My name is Sten Morgan. Today, we're going to be hanging out with the Elite Advisor Network member, Mark Hansen. Mark went from changing careers to adopting the AUM model to knowing there was that voice inside of him that said, I think I can get paid for my time and ideas. I want to add financial planning as an offering in my practice. And in a very short period of time, he had to overcome a lot of resistance. He came to one of our live events. He's on our monthly coaching calls. But he had to push through the limiting beliefs to get to a place where he's had multiple business owners pay him $20,000 for planning engagements. That for him, the confidence boost of getting paid for his time and ideas has changed his career. I love hanging out with Mark. Let's dive in. Mark, welcome to the podcast, brother.
Hey, Sten. Good to be here.
I'm glad you're here. We've been able to walk together now for 2 years. Going on 2 years?
Coming up on two, yep.
I'll have to look it up. But yeah, you've been in our community. We've been on coaching calls together. You've been to our live event in Nashville. And I've loved watching your story play out. I know for all of us as advisors, this business can be pretty lonely. We know our own personal struggle. We know when we have days where we just hit a wall and we're like, what's going on? Whether it's, I just lost some clients. I just had somebody say no to me. And I've watched you just be resilient in the face of that. And it's been really cool to watch because I've also seen some of the stuff you've done recently, which to most advisors would seem impossible when it comes to financial planning and the fees you've been able to collect from people. So I'm excited to unpack all that.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it too. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. Well, take us back. I'd love like a high level of like, did you know what an advisor did when you got into the business? Did somebody get you too hyped up and then you had this like reality moment of how hard it was going to be? What was that like?
Yeah, all of it for sure. So I got into the business. I was called into the business when I was interviewing a financial advisor for my wife and I. I got about halfway through explaining why my current portfolio with my current advisor wasn't exactly optimized the way that I wanted it. And this guy said, Mark, what are you doing? You are a financial advisor. You just are in the wrong industry. And so my interview turned into his interview, and that's how I got into the industry, was by accident and happenstance. I had educated myself into kind of the baseline understanding of what an advisor could do in portfolio construction. And so then I get into the industry and I realized, oh my gosh, it's so much more than that. It's talking to people, motivating them, keeping them motivated, helping them see, helping people have 10 options and narrow it down to the two that make the most sense to them right then in that moment, in that sequence. There's so much more, but the more I've learned about it with enough time and retrospect, I've learned to fall in love with it even more.
Wow. What's interesting is I think that the experience you had with an advisor is, I think as an advisor, what I'm trying to avoid when somebody's with me, they're like, this doesn't feel great. I wonder if I can do it better. Because I know I got into the business, I was selling insurance and mutual funds. And I think there were people I worked with that got the feeling of like, I need what you have to offer, but maybe there's a lot more of this I could do on my own. And my hope as an advisor now is when I meet with somebody, they're like, I would never do it alone.
Mm-hmm.
Your process is so clean. The value add is so great. How has that kind of driven your development as an advisor that you got into the business because somebody maybe left you wanting a little bit on the experience?
Well, yes, as my eyes were opened, I realized all these other areas. And it's, what about estate planning and what kind of protection do we need? It was this retirement timeline. It's a long time. And just thinking about it for my family and thinking of what are these other things that people aren't even aware of? That's how my process has been designed, really, is understanding when I help somebody, what is it to actually help them? And not to help them in one area, but try to help them in every area that I can as one cohesive process. Well, and I guess the process came because I realized it's not helpful to just like vomit all over people. You want to walk people through some steps and some sequence, and they appreciate steps and sequence. And so it's creating that process. And now that feels so much better to walk people through. It's, hey, I'm Mark. This is my clarity planning process. And I move people through it. And it's step by step, intention by intention. And that feels good for me. And it feels good for the client too.
So when you first got into the business, were you going to be an advisor that managed investments? Was it more the insurance side? I know when we met and what we've been through together is like, how do we give a deep, holistic, efficient experience? Where did it start though?
It started with knowing advisors managed money, AUM. I really, when I first stepped into the industry, I didn't even know that people charged for their ideas. But when I heard that idea, it sank in so deep, so fast, and it made so much sense. And that was because my mentor advisor, the guy that originally called me in to the industry, I was mentoring underneath him and learning a lot. He does a lot of portfolio management and he gives away all the ideas for free. And he's later stages in his career. He's had a very successful 30-something year career. He's doing very well. He has what he wants. You know, he's as much time with the grandkids as he wants, as much time with his kids as he wants, as much time at church as he wants, and more income than he needs with he and his wife, and can give in a very blessed way. And that's what he wants, and he's got it. And I saw that can't be where I start, because I'm not starting where he is. He got there after 30-something years. And so it just made so much sense to, okay, charge for the ideas. But then the ideas don't make sense if it's just randomly strewn together statements. People want a cohesive thought process. And that's where the planning process was born.
I do think there's a disconnect between everything we know as advisors and our ability for somebody across the table that doesn't know our world to understand it. And we talk about this on our coaching calls, like simplicity is a gift, but our goal is not to oversimplify it. You know, the one-page financial plan is something I still struggle with, the lack of any deliverable. I definitely struggle with, here's an e-money report, here's a Morningstar financial analysis, and now do these things. And so I think while us as advisors, we're filling in the gaps in our minds, so it's like, this makes total sense. I think most clients are a little less confused when they have an advisor because they have somebody to talk to. But I think most advisors, you know, I coach thousands, I've talked to a bunch of the big firms out there. Clients are not getting this really dialed in experience to where they're like, oh, I understand why we're doing this and why we're doing that. It's typically, here's some ideas, here's some facts, let's buy some insurance and invest in the market, and let's talk once or twice a year. And while it kind of works, and people are probably better off than they were without it, I think something I felt inside of myself, which I sense in you too, is this piece of like, but I think it can be a little bit better still.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. A lot of times it's not black and white. Maybe there is a black section and there is a white section, but it's a giant gray spectrum that's in the middle. And it's teaching people about that spectrum and how to think about it and what's different on this side versus that side. And then giving them their own internal logic or helping them learn how to decipher their internal logic to understand where they want to be on that spectrum. That's been that idea over and over and over again in all these different areas. My ability to communicate that to somebody is really where the value is, because then people are calling and they're saying, hey, what does the spectrum look like for this? What's the black? What's the white? What's the giant gray area in the middle? And what are the consequences, good and bad, of both?
Yeah, calling attention to it, I guess, as opposed to ignoring it. But I don't think that means we always have the solution. I think I had to give myself permission at one point that sometimes it's valuable just to call something out, even if you don't have like the solution right away. How do you handle that within your planning process? Maybe we can take a step back and you went from AUM to the idea of like, wait, there's a chance people might pay me for this, which I think most of us as advisors are like, wait, what do you mean? What does that look like? I had a lot of resistance towards it until I was like, I'm meeting enough people that have a need of what I have to offer. They just don't want to buy something right away. That's what pushed me into needing to have this offering. Did you immediately switch over to this when you were like, oh, I think that's possible, that's who I am? Or was it a slower process?
I immediately switched over and I immediately did it wrong. I'm happy to admit both.
I remember when you were at the event.
Yeah, it was a...
Let's unpack that a little bit.
Yeah, fun fact, I was doing it so wrong, Sten laughed at me when I told him how I was doing it. So that's... And that's... So I had been... I'm a learner. I like to learn. I wish I liked to learn more when I was in school, but I've grown to really like learning. Sure. And so
you,
I was,
catch up.
I was digesting a lot of financial advisor information. As a non-financial advisor, I was just drowning myself in financial advisor podcasts because I was really interested in stewarding the money that we had. And so there was something that happened where I came across a podcast that you had been on, and you talked about this idea of like planning and then charging for fees. And I was like, well, that's very different than everything else that I've been listening to. And then when I got into the industry and I had exposure to it, that's when I thought, oh, okay, this like AUM is a thing, but it's not the thing, if that makes sense, kind of separating those two out. And so then I kind of dove back in and said, well, what is this? Because I heard somebody talk about how it's two separate things and there's a lot of value in this financial planning side. So what is that? And then as you kind of dive in, you start to realize, oh, this isn't a tiny little circle. This is actually a really, really big circle. And it's like you were talking about just a second ago, you have to get comfortable with how big that circle is and knowing that you're probably not going to know all of it. You actually probably spend, I'm currently spending my entire career realizing how far away from me the edges of that circle are.
Sure. Yeah. 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 I'm learning too, the ability to coach and inspire people to take action, like, is so much of the value. The idea of like, I have every answer right when you need it. That the pressure that put on me started taking the fun out of it, and real, like, I'll never achieve that goal. Like, I do need to have partners behind me, but like, even a great financial plan, you know, isn't the perfect plan. Like, there's some things we may look back and say we could do it differently, but a clear path and a system for them to keep making decisions and checking it without their advisor being the person always trying to sell them the thing. And that's why I struggle with advisors, and I've had heated debates with people that if the only way as an advisor you get paid is by selling something to your client, that's a problem. Mm-hmm. And the younger version of me that worked at all the investment houses and some of the big insurance brokerage firms, the good news is the industry's shifting now to incorporate, even incentivize, hey, you can get paid for planning. It was the little thing inside of me that was like, man, if this person enters this room and I don't get them to roll all their assets to me, or if they don't buy an insurance policy, I don't make any money. What that created in me was just enough discomfort to push me down a path of like, what if there was a different way? And I don't think it has to replace the other stuff. We can manage money well, you can help with insurance, but if the only way for me to have an interaction with you initially is for you to buy something from me, to me, we should just remove the word advisor from that conversation and just be like, hey, we sell stuff.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, when you say stuff like that, I like how it's not divisive in a negative way. It's divisive in a positive way. It's forcing you to see things as two. Either that or I'm saying, I don't like what Sten is saying. But again, there, it's still positively divisive where you're saying, I do or I don't agree with Sten. And if I agree with Sten, I'm saying A is not B and B is not A. And if you can sit in that and digest it, then you get to think, okay, how is A not B? And how is B not A? And that process I've learned is very, very important.
Yeah. So I'm going to do, I don't know, I saw a movie recently where they showed you the ending first and they kind of went back in time. And so you have now had multiple business owners and clients pay you $20,000 or more for a financial planning engagement with you, which is something most advisors in the world have not been able to accomplish. There's advisors I know that manage hundreds of millions, billions of dollars. They make a crazy amount of income. But if I said, yeah, you need to sit with somebody and give them an invoice and get them to pay you a check for your time and ideas, as opposed to baking it into a product or in a managed account, most advisors have never been able to accomplish that. And it sounds simple, but I know with your story, if we go back in time now, what was required of you, the skills you had to learn, the emotional growth you had to go through to get to the end, which was somebody writing you that big of a check just for your presence, not for a product. If you can try to walk us through that arc, that'd be great.
Yeah, definitely. So I stepped into 2025 where things were not going great with my company. The mid punchline is that in the summer of 2025, I was trying to figure out, am I going to keep doing this? Am I going to stay as this company that I operate under as Second Comma? Am I going to fold into somebody else's team? What am I going to do? And so 2025, from December of 24 through the middle of 2025, I was losing a client a month for no reason of something that I was doing. And I was talking to these clients, I was asking for feedback, and I was saying, please, if I am doing something, please let me know. I mean, by the middle of the year, I was begging people, if I am doing something to drive you away, please tell me. Because I wasn't understanding what was happening. And then middle of 2025, I wound up where I had probably 5 or 6 standing offers from other financial advisors saying, hey, would you like to come work for me? Or, hey, if you ever get tired of doing that, you should come work for my company. And so I feel like I'm watching my airplane crash while these other people are saying, hey, come get in my airplane. And it was in there kind of hitting that rock bottom where I was saying, okay, well, what am I going to do now? Am I going to jump out of this? Am I going to abandon it? Well, nobody's telling me that it's going wrong. And so then it was, all I was left with was this clarity financial planning process that I had come up with. And I said, I really do believe in this. I really believe in this process. I think if I walk somebody through this, it's really good. And it allowed me to build myself back up. And so while I feel like I'm crashing and while I hit this rock bottom in the middle of 2025, I'm also losing all of these mental distractions. There's no grandeur around losing a client a month for no obvious reason. You have to internalize so much of that because there's no way to externalize it. And so I'm sitting there in the middle of the year and I just get really comfortable with this clarity process. And I say, okay, if this is it, then we're going to build everything on top of it. So then from the middle of 2025, I just took everything and said, this is a framework. How does this new thing hang on this framework? How does that new thing hang on this framework? Where does it fit in there? And I sat with it and I worked with it and I tweaked it. And I became extremely confident in this financial planning process that I had. That confidence.
Was it the confidence around the presentation of it? Was it the confidence around like, no, this is actually going to work? What where'd the kind of confidence unlock happen?
Well, we have that software that we use at EAN where it's the plan score software. And so I was understanding how does my process yield that financial plan, right? And so then and trying to tie those two things with a bridge between them. So some of it was the verbiage around what am I saying? Why am I saying it? How am I saying it? And more importantly for me, because I'm kind of a rambler, what am I not saying? And why am I not saying these certain things? Because I'm very good at accidentally giving the client too much information, which actually confuses them. You said simplicity is a gift, brevity is a gift. I really tried to, okay, if I'm just going to say one sentence, what is it going to be? If I'm going to allow myself a second sentence, what is it going to be? And so that's the process that I'm working through in the middle of the year. And it's working up into the end of the year where I had these business owner clients. And what I realized, now I can see it looking back, what happened was the first half of the year, all of these distractions were falling away. I spent the summer becoming really intimate with this thing that I realized was very powerful and helpful for people. And I learned how to articulate it. And then come the end of 2025, when I had to articulate it to somebody, they were able to buy in.
Wow. Were these business owner clients that you had already had contact with? I know in our coaching calls, we talk about prospecting a lot. When did you connect with these people? What was the initial contact to then convincing them of the value of it? What was that like?
Yeah, prospecting is secretly the thing I don't want the spotlight to shine on because it's the one I'm the least confident in. One of these business owner clients, my son goes to a school that has a trail life troop, which is kind of like Christian Boy Scouts, basically. And they said, hey, we need somebody to run this. And I'm an Eagle Scout. So I was like, well, that sounds pretty easy. So I stepped into there and we're having a leadership meeting and somebody at the table with me just said, hey, Mark, what do you do? And so I, thinking back to the how to charge live training, I was like, oh, I teach business owners stuff that they wish they learned a long time ago. I've learned to kind of make a joke out of it. And he said, oh, that's interesting. What are you talking about? And I said, well, like advisors, but business owners, they want to pay their kids and all these things. I just threw out a couple of things. And this person that I was not talking to, a totally different direction, I heard him audibly go, hmm. And then a couple of hours later, my phone rings. It's that guy. And he's saying, hey, I heard what you told so-and-so at the meeting. I'd like to talk to you about that more. And so that was really eye-opening for me of that's not intentional prospecting, but I definitely solidified that lesson of being ready to say what I do in a way that communicates to my intended audience. There's a way to say what you do that communicates nothing to your intended audience and everything to the wrong audience. And I've tried to spend some time in that too. But then the other one, this other business owner, I was actually working So I kind of moonlight as an Excel specialist. And so I was doing some Excel consultation with him, and I was working on the spreadsheet for his company. And I just made the offhanded joke of, well, yeah, this is my moonlight doing Excel stuff. And he's like, well, what do you do in the daylight? Like, that was his response. And I said, oh, I'm a financial advisor. And I just talked about my financial planning process, one or two sentences. And he said, all right, well, when this meeting's over, let's talk about that. And I say those are really good things. I also, as a business owner, I recognize I can't just do that 10 more times. You know, I have to nail down prospecting. Yeah. But that is the piece that I have yet to nail down. Like, when I read Value First Prospecting, when I look at the training from How to Charge Live, that's the piece that I have not mm-hmm. quite figured out, which is interesting, yeah. having sold it twice already.
That's right, yeah. There's an element, we talked about this on one of the training calls, like momentum will build as you get yeses, you know, and you get some success and you can spin that into other things. Those engagements are active. What was the engagement length you set up with them?
Yeah.
Fee you charge, if you give us some detail on that.
So again, in 2025, kind of abandoned and just said, let's bring in something totally new. So listening in the coaching calls, Sten started at one time frame. Sten landed on 12 weeks. All right, I'm doing 12 weeks, right? I'm just going to do it. And I've, again, saying something with a certain assertiveness has helped in this process the whole time. So these clients come through and I'd say, do you want to do a two pay or a three pay? You know, it doesn't really matter to me. I can get you a quote for both, or I present them a quote for both. And then it's 12 weeks start to finish. It's a structured process. And again, the more, not too much detail, but if you can show them the framework and how you're going to step through it and why you're going to step through it. You know, when I went to the business meeting, the first one, I was prepared to quote a $15,000 fee. Well, fees where I would net $15,000. And in that meeting, sure. he introduced a little bit of extra complexity. And I made the change in the moment of, I'm going to quote where I would net $20,000. And when I presented that fee to him, his response was, yeah, that sounds fair. And that was crazy for me, because
what was happening inside of you? What was the inner dialogue at that moment?
Oh yeah. It was like, whoa, what? What?
Really?
It wasn't even like a, hey, let me think about it, or you know, those would have made a lot of sense to me. But to, in the meeting, raise the fee 33%, quote it, and he says, mm-hmm. yeah, that sounds fair. It was when he said, that sounds fair. And I thought, okay, mm-hmm. There's yeah. really something here, because I said, will you give me your $20,000 and I will give you my thoughts? And he said, yeah, I'll do that because that sounds fair.
Now I go back to the first time, and mine was not that baller. You know, mine was $1,500 for 12 months, but I still had like this little confidence boost of like, wait, you're telling me you're going to pay me money directly just for me? Because everything I'd been trained in the business was like, we are the deliverer of the product. Like, hey, we can ask questions and try to find the issue, and then we have products to fill those holes. It was a wild experience. And I've told you about my Washington, D.C. experience with the conference, where I was like visibly upset. And I didn't get this vibe from you when we've hung out, when you were having like processing things, but I was almost like angry at the speaker for even proposing that he could charge somebody a fee and they would say yes, because I've never had anybody do that to me. But most advisors, it's like, you shouldn't do it, you can't do it. And I got to walk through a lot of that kind of head trash with you, to then imagining you being in that room with that moment where someone says like, that sounds fair. For everybody listening, I don't even think they can understand like the power of that moment in your career.
Yeah. The adrenaline rush. It was that, I think I could have counted the pores on my body, is how much adrenaline was pouring through my body at that point. And then there's an advisor that I've been in a mastermind with, and he talked about this metaphor. I don't know what it is, but he says, like, watching the ball go through the hoop, right? And he says, you want to see the ball go through the hoop. And I didn't really understand what he was talking about. But then in that moment, when the client said, that sounds fair, it was like Sten has been describing to me the game of basketball for months. Just, there's two teams. These are the clothes you wear. This is what the court looks like. You do this thing called dribbling. And then in that moment, what the adrenaline rush was I saw the ball go through the hoop. And I thought, oh my gosh, the ball really does fit in the hoop. And that was, does that make sense?
Yeah. Or sometimes it feels like Shaq standing there just swatting everything yes. away every single time.
Yeah.
I love that analogy. Cause there are times where I just want to dunk the basketball. Like, Sen, just tell me how to dunk it. And I'm like, I tried to do that on day one and I just kept running into issues. Well, how do I build a plan? Like, how do I talk about it? What's my value? And I see that often with advisors that I don't think they understand the steps required. The outcome is amazing. And once you feel that and experience it as a professional that like, I don't have to give away my time and ideas for free. That's like the sprinkle giveaway in order to sell something. I try not to position in a way where it makes it sound bad. But if you step back and you're like, by definition, that means I have no value.
Mm.
And man, I feel that with advisors when I say that. And I think that's what I was challenged with earlier in my career when I was like, so if I'm just selling investments, mutual funds, and insurance and giving away free dinners, driving to people's houses on Saturday to get forms signed, like there is an element of that to where certain professionals would never let that happen. Like they would almost be offended if a client was like, hey, will you drive to my house at 7 p.m. at night to have a form signed? Like, what does it look like for us to show up in a generous way, yet with some level of self-respect that it's like, hey, I'd love to help you with that. But in order to do that, it costs X, Y, and Z, which attorneys do, doctors do. But there's something within our industry that we're almost told like, nope, give that away. Be available all the time. Don't have good boundaries. Because man, if you do enough, you'll sell enough stuff and you'll make a good personal income. And I think for me and for you, like just that never fully settled is the right way.
Yeah. Well, it's by the time I stepped into this career, leaving my previous career, I mean, I have two kids, another on the way. I was married, happily married, desired to remain happily married. And I knew that the answer to that was not spend 60 hours boots on the ground, pounding the pavement, you know, smiling and dialing, walking and knocking, all these different things that you hear people talk about. I knew that that wouldn't let me be the husband, the father that I wanted to be. And so I cut those off. I was like, I'm not going to, those aren't options. So what's a different option? Because it didn't make sense to me to start that or to treat my family that way just because I wanted to be in a different career. And so then it was saying, no, I'm not going to do that. Can I call enough people that eventually enough people have meetings? Yes, mathematically it can happen, but I don't want to do that because I'm just at a phase in my life where everything is family time. So that's my marker is whatever I'm doing, it's costing me to not spend time with my family. And I'm trying to make that as hard as possible of I'm not going to leave my family just to go walk around for 6 hours and knock on doors. Now, I had the luxury to do that, but I also spent time building the ability for that luxury. We got a very supportive wife. She helps with that process a lot. So I'm not saying here's Mark's prescription, do it or you're dumb. Yeah. I'm just saying I needed to take advantage of all the aspects that were around me. And this is kind of what it looked like.
Yeah, I appreciate you saying that. I do think there's an element of like our industry will tell you brute force, you know, just put your head down for years and eventually someday you'll have a great life. And I think to your point, like not all of us career changers, especially your people with young families can afford that path. You could do it, but I think you'll get to the point where you look back and you're like, it was too costly. Like, I wish I wouldn't have done it that way. And so I know for me, three kids, I'm like, hey, I'm not going to work in the morning. I'm going to be there taking them to school. I'm going to be home at dinner. I'm not going to work weekends. But man, when you find me between 8 and 4:30, I better bring something totally different. Because if I'm trying to copy everybody else around me that's playing by different rules, it's not going to take me where I want to go.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good word. How was, what was it like for the family in this process? Because it happened fairly quick. You pushed through. Like we talk about this on our calls, like the resistance that hits you that you pushed through, it could have been years. Luckily, it didn't take that long. But what was it to experience Mark in that period for those people around you?
You know, perfect grace, no faults, just everything was amazing. No.
Perfect cheerleading squad.
Oh, yeah. They were like, Daddy, you're killing it. You're doing so good. No, I mean, a lot of it, again, the internalization, you lose a client, one client. Okay, fine. And when I'm losing a client, I don't mean I had 2,000 clients and I lost one. I mean, at this point in time, I had 17 clients and I lost one. Mm. And it's okay. That's not great. And then 30 more days go by and you lose another. 30 more days, you lose another. And so I went from 17 clients. I was at 11. It is in the middle of the year. And I'm just like, what is happening? Wow. And I had to, internalize a lot of that. And that didn't always come out in beautiful ways, but it always came out. I tried to make it come out in a more productive way each time, because it's hard when somebody says, I don't want you, and then doesn't have a great reason why. That can be really hard.
Sure. Yeah, I think through when I've lost clients, I think as a younger advisor, it was like, I'm frustrated. You know, they don't understand. I want to explain my way out of it to them. That's obviously not a great posture. I was broken up with before when I was young. And the idea of like, no, you don't want to break up with me. The idea should be like, hey, I wish you the best. You know, if you come as a confident human being, like you don't scramble or you're not too spiked. But I used to get spiked losing clients. And then eventually it's like, okay, how can I learn from this? Hey, wish you the best. In my mind, I'm like, and they're like, oh, like if this doesn't work out, I move somewhere else. Sometimes there's a good reason. You're like, I can't argue with you. It's your money. Internally, still, I struggle with like when they're like, oh, but I'll call you back if I need help. And I'm like, no, you won't. You know, like this door doesn't go that way. But then I have to kind of catch myself like, hey, wish you the best. Like, that's true. But yeah, it is emotional and helpful to talk about it, losing a client. Sometimes I think I set my schedule up so well. I'm like, man, I'm here in the morning with my kids. I'm at dinner. I'm like, man, I think for running a business, multiple businesses, like I must be doing great. And then I'll take one of my kids being like, Dad, why are you work so much? You know, and it even triggers me when I'm like, hey, you have no idea. Most dad, I'm like, what am I? Hey, honey, what do you mean by that?
Yeah.
Like, how can I help with that? You know, so I feel like as a business owner, as an advisor, it's this exercise in like emotional awareness. And the good news, I've done a lot of that work and I think it's made me a better advisor. What comes up in you when I say that?
It is definitely, it's doing the work for sure. In the moment, could I have said, well, client number one, well, you're dumb because I'm really smart and you're the one that's leaving. So obviously you're dumb for sure. By God's grace, I have spent the previous five and a half years working on my anger, working on my ability to spike. And I realize that's not the answer. And I am progressively giving it up more and more every day. And so when these clients are leaving, did it hurt? Yes. But did I need to take it out on them? No. Did I need to take it out on myself? No. And that was another learning experience of it. Just because somebody makes a decision doesn't mean that I am specifically doing something wrong. There was a lot of internal work that would be a whole other podcast for me to get into.
Sure.
With more time between me and that period, I can look back and I see so clearly now, oh, Mark had business model A, and then Mark, through learning at EAN, moved to business model B. And what happened was this sequential leaving of all of the business model A clients, realizing, oh, Mark is doing something different now, and this is no longer where I need to be. So I couldn't in the moment, if you had said, Mark, what's happening to your business? What is happening? I was the business owner. It's a one-person company. Nobody else has a chance to know. But I didn't understand what the answer was. I can only see it now with enough time, which makes me so much, I guess, even happier to realize that I didn't have those spike moments, that I didn't lash out at these clients. But it did take me some time. But now I look back and I see it so clearly.
Man, I appreciate you sharing that. I think this can be a lonely business. I think the idea of accepting iteration in your business, like you're talking about, and accepting what comes along with that change. Because I do think our industry is going to keep changing. And there are advisors I talk to that are still holding on to like, it's all about AUM, or there's advisors like, it's all about insurance and annuities. I'm very confident from talking to leadership at a lot of big firms, the stuff they're trying to roll out. The future of our business is a process advice-driven model where advisors are great communicators. And oh, by the way, we can help you with investments and insurance as well. And I know for a lot of peers we have, it's like there's people seeing it and trying to figure out, but there's still this huge group that's like, I don't know what you guys are talking about. This is working just fine for me. And it may for a while, but eventually I think the advisors that communicate a process and their value in such a way to where people are happy to pay them, whether it's AI, streamlining portfolio management, or insurance underwriting being so rapid online that advisors mostly aren't need for that anymore. Like something is coming that is going to disrupt the advisor of today. And it's like, what do you need to do in order to be relevant in the next season? I think that's the next struggle advisors are going to have to work through.
Yeah. I found myself towards the end of the summer when everything started to become clear for me. I was talking to my wife at one point and I said, I think I get it. I think I understand what entrepreneurship is. And she said, what are you talking about? And I said, I feel like I'm downtown and I'm walking alongside a building on a windy day and the wind is blocking, or the building is blocking the wind, right? And I said, what's happening right now? I said, I am turning the corner of entrepreneurship, but around that corner is the wind. And I have to, I have to make a decision. I'm either going to stand here in the shadow of this building and I will spend the rest of my career here. But if I do that, the revenue won't support us. I need to go somewhere else. I'm saying I don't want to be an entrepreneur. And I realized it's turning that corner and facing that resistance and walking into the wind. And it just started to dawn on me, like, this is why everyone is an entrepreneur. Some people don't like to walk into the wind. Does that make sense?
No. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it takes me like to Milwaukee or something when I've been there, and it's not just windy. It's like it's hurting your face.
Yes. Yes.
That kind of wind.
Yes.
Man, I appreciate you, brother. Thanks for being here. I know I'll see you soon on a EAN call. But for everybody listening, like, Mark is a great example of hitting resistance, shifting business model, pushing through. And I will say this, and I think this will be true for a long time. You are in a very small group of advisors around the world that have had somebody pay them a $20,000 fee for their time and ideas. I don't know if it feels like that today, but I just want to give you that encouragement. And as a fellow advisor, I'm proud of you, man.
I appreciate that. It's I definitely couldn't have done it without the leadership and the coaching that has come out of EAN. I remember at the How to Charge Live, I was sitting with Andy and he was eating his lunch. And I said, Andy, I don't understand. How am I supposed to do this? It's like, no one's ever paid me for my ideas. And then he said, oh, so you're not confident. And I said, no, why would I be confident? I have nothing to lean on. I have no confidence. And he didn't skip a beat. And this is what has sunk in with me over time is he said, then borrow ours. And I thought, well, that's kind of a weird idea. But then in the moment, it was a weird idea. But then over time, it was, no, I really can assume that Sten and Andy are saying things that are true. If it's true, then how would that change the way that I act? And that, I mean, I have for the rest of 2025 just been borrowing confidence. But now at the end of 2025, I kind of gained my own as that moment where I can count the force of my body.
That building. Yeah. No, I love that idea of like, what if it was true? And I think that's a challenge for advisors. Like, okay, what you're doing is working, but like, what if there was a better way? And if we can hold space for that, I know you're a big learner. It's like this strong opinions loosely held. I don't know if you've heard that term before, to where it's like, man, I'll fight. I love a good debate, but like, I will not clinch so tightly to something if there's even a chance there's something better. I think one, we owe that to ourselves, but also to our clients and our family, that like, we are open-minded to a better path if it exists.
Yes. It reading Value First Prospecting, the number of times I set that book down and said, why did Sten just say that? Why did Sten write that? Sten took 18 months, 24 months. He could have said anything, but that's what he wrote down. And I would just sit in that. Like, what happened that made Sten say that line? Because I'm having a hard time with that line.
Yeah. Yeah. The awareness of like, why is that thing making me feel something?
Yeah.
Is pretty interesting too. And I've had to get better at that. Yeah. All right, brother. I appreciate you being here. We'll wrap it up and I'll see you soon.
Sounds good.